Hello and welcome back to the CTB show here on a lovely Monday evening ahead of one of the biggest games of the year, not only in the NFL, but for our podcast sake, because we got a nice wager on it, kind of going head to head. I'm Thomas Pogranik, joined by Christian Catanacci as always. Cat, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great, Pog. Yeah, first time of the season, we're going head to head for our weekly best bets segment. For those of you that missed the episode last week, I'm on the Chiefs, Pog's on the Eagles.
I feel way less confident about it now.
He's trying to reverse it here.
No, I'm not just trying to reverse it, but like everyone knows that I'm a massive, massive closet Chiefs fan. And while I would like to see them lose tonight, for one, for my pick with the Eagles on the podcast, also would help the Dolphins massively in terms of seeding in the AFC. Like Patrick Mahomes, in these moments, he just shows why he's the best. And that was your logic in it. I took the Eagles because I was like, what did I end up getting on them? We have to go back and look because the spread is now 2.5. I think I might have gotten them at 3 points. And I was just like, this just feels like a pickup. Yeah. So I'm just going to take the 3 points.
Yeah.
And then your mindset was like, I'm going to take the 3 points because whenever Mahomes is favored by that few, just take them.
So. Especially at home. Like that. Yeah, exactly. That exactly was my thought process around it. But yeah, it was an eventful weekend. For us both, Pock here, for those Canadian football fans, was in Hamilton, the Hammer,
all week long,
covering the CFL. How was that?
It was a blast, honestly. The CFL, it's a league that has grown on me a ton recently, and it is very different from the NFL, and I think a lot of NFL fans don't appreciate it. But I would honestly say give it a chance, because it's a different game. It's got a different feel. And the fans are great. It was a great environment. Hamilton was a city that definitely exceeded my expectations. And the game itself, the Grey Cup, was like just one of the best finishes for like a championship game since maybe like the Malcolm Butler interception. Like it was a crazy, crazy game. I'm trying to think of a better Super Bowl. Maybe the 28-3. It wasn't as good as that in terms of a comeback, but just like it reminded me of that game if the Seahawks had won, because it was just back and forth all game. Last drive, you know, 13 seconds left, something like that. Alouettes, game-winning touchdown on third down. Amazing.
It was definitely the better than the game that I had watched down in Buffalo. I was in Buffalo. I'm sure you could tell by my voice. I'm coming down with something. I don't know what it is, but I guess that's what happens when you're standing outside for about it was probably 10 hours, including the game time, but it was cold. It wasn't the best game. I was screaming a lot. I'm not even a Bills fan, but I had money on the game, so that's why I was invested. We had a huge disaster at the border. We got held back because we had wood that, for agricultural reasons, they couldn't let us over for some reason, which is insane. That. I don't know. We crossed the border. We got to the tailgate at 10 o'clock, and the trailer that was behind us that had the wood and the food didn't get to there until like 1:30.
Four hours. I was thinking it was late for the game, but
4 hours.
No,
the game was at 4, but still, like, pretty late for a tailgate. But I mean, they should put that on a t-shirt. Pretty late for a tailgate. But no, it was good nonetheless. I had a great time. You know who else is having a great time, though? Those fans down in Denver, because they just won their fourth straight game against now they're the hottest team in the league, but going into the game, Minnesota Vikings were flying. Pastrnak, everyone was going crazy, and the Vikings team is back in the playoff race, and they go into Denver, and I mean, it was a close game, but again, Denver, now after starting 1-5, they are back to 500, 5-5 on the season. And it leads me to think, is this a real team? Like, are we looking at, because the past 2 years, it's been all talk about the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos this, the Denver Broncos that. They should be good. They're going to be good. Russell Wilson, now Sean Payton. Like, this is finally the season that they put it together. And, I mean, 1-5 for the first 6 weeks, it was a complete disaster. People were talking about Caleb Williams, Drake May, and now fast forward 4 weeks, they're right into the thick of things.
You were talking about, you know, a game that I went to, a game that you went to. Another game that I went to this season had the Denver Broncos playing in it, and I saw them surrender 70 points. in one of the most despicable performances by an NFL team in recent history. Just lifeless. Just it felt like they didn't deserve the privilege of playing in this league. And it just felt like after that moment, like it was September, so early in the season, but it had already felt like this era of Denver Broncos football was over, including Sean Payton, including Russell Wilson. I thought Vance Joseph was going to get fired after that game right then and there.
There were a lot of people calling for his job, a lot of people.
How they have turned around from that is truly remarkable. They still, to me, don't quite look like the team that they should be.
Yep.
And when I say that, I mean, I think back to almost 2 years ago now when we all got the news that Russell Wilson was going to Denver. You imagine them being this high-flying offense with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams. They haven't been beating teams like that. They've been very ugly, scrappy wins. But in this league, it's hard to win, and a win is a win. So the fact that they've rolled off however many, what did you say, four in a row now?
Four in a row.
They're back to 500. I just pulled up their schedule, and this almost gave me like shivers because it told me that like we're at the point now where, first of all, there's not a whole lot of games left on the schedule, and you can officially start to watch like, oh, Denver has an easier schedule than, you know, said team. Maybe they have the edge, although they have the same record right now, or although Denver's a game behind, maybe they have the edge to get into the playoffs because like December's right around the corner. This is the best time for the NFL all season long. There's not a whole lot to be afraid of on this schedule.
Yeah.
You got the Browns this week. It's a home game. They're favorites against a 7-3 Browns team that has just looked unstoppable on the defense side of the ball. And that defense is quite literally setting records and has been a unit that I don't think has been talked about enough this year, but they don't have a quarterback. And PJ Walker is only going to score so many points. Then you got the Texans on the road. The way they're playing right now, that is a hard game. I still have my doubts that the Texans can continue this high level just because they're a young team, right?
And it's because it's the Texans, too. It's a little bit, it's unfair, but at the same time, it's like we're not used to the Texans like being a, I don't want to say good team because they had good years with Watson, but I get what you're saying.
It's not that I don't think they're going to be a great team down the road.
Yeah, it's just hard to buy in at the moment.
To continuously keep winning games. It's, like I said, it's a hard league to win. And they got the Chargers twice. I think they can win both those games
for the sake of predictions, you split them, but regardless, exactly. I could see the scenario where they do. I could also see a scenario where they lose both, but
I can see the scenario where they lose all these games. Yeah, I'm just saying like they don't have a gauntlet ahead. Like,
no,
they're going to be in every game, every single game.
The Pats, the only game you could realistically chalk up as a guaranteed loss is probably in Detroit. But even again, like
the Bears don't beat them this week.
Right? Like this is a team that is a good team, but to win in December or down the stretch, no matter who you're playing, you saw it last week, it's tough. And it requires, I don't want to say experience, because the Lions have it to an extent, but it's just different. Like, you got to be able to, it's time to lock down. You're not going to have it every single week. You saw it with the Lions this past week, but it's impressive that, honestly, I'm happy you brought up the offense, because people are so quick to point fingers at the Broncos. But in my opinion, like, for some reason, I am having a blast watching this team, because, like, they're winning in scrappy ways. Like, it's exciting. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching Denver Broncos football, and it's like not the Peyton Manning years where they're going to drop 50 on you, but they win close football games. And it's almost, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but, like, let's say this team does squeak in. A team like that wins scrappy, low-scoring games by one possession, two possessions, and like Russell Wilson, there's no beating around the bush here. He's played incredibly well in the fourth quarter this year. Like, when he's got to make plays, he's making plays. So I get at least that sense of his game is how we were used to seeing Russell Wilson play. And I would be scared. Like, if I had to play the Broncos, I'm not saying like, oh, they're going to go and win the playoffs, but that's a pesky team. A team with a good defense, a team that can score in clutch situations, because I can't just say they're just going to score on you at any time, but it's clear that they, when it comes down to crunch time, they score points, and they're winning games down to the wire, and I think that translates. That exact definition of a football team is someone that you'd want to be scared of almost playing in the playoffs come January, right?
I can already see the narrative. Miami scored 70 on them in week three. They're the 2 seed. Broncos get in as the 7 seed, and Miami can only score 17 points and lose 20-17 to the Broncos. Like, and it's like they've just become this pesky team. And I think the main takeaway from all this, especially like I said when I was veering ahead and looking at the schedule, they've just quickly transformed themselves from a team that you think is going to be the Caleb Williams in the lottery, and a team that when you see them on the schedule, you just chalk it up as an easy win. And they now have this new identity as a tough team where you just know, like, I'm not here to say that I think they're going to make the playoffs. You just know that they're going to have a fighting chance each and every week.
It out.
They have a veteran head coach. They have a veteran quarterback who are beginning to find their mojo a little bit more. Some of their start, like, Cortland Sutton is having, like, a quietly Pro Bowl level season, the way he's getting in the end zone every week, the way he continues to make big plays. Like, they have started to become very impressive. And it also serves as a reminder of sometimes the NFL can even be a little bit of a forgiving league in the sense that how long the season is. Because if you were to tell me that a team that had 70 points scored on them in September is one of the teams that lost to Zach Wilson this year,
yep,
blew a massive lead to the Commanders.
That's right.
I think they were up like 21-0 in that game. They lost that game. They lost to a team, the Raiders, that had fired their head coach in the middle of the season. Like, all those things combine them, but this team's 5-5, and they're in the playoff hunt.
It's honestly, I like how you brought up pesky, because like even the run games, Javonte Williams is having an under the radar fantastic season. Like, he's running the ball with efficiency. He's running hard. It reminds me a lot. I'm not saying they're as good as this team, but their peskiness reminds me a lot of the Detroit Lions. And it's crazy how obviously the Lions are this team that is flying, right? We might as well get right into the Lions anyways, because we're about to talk about them. But they're potentially going to be the number one seed in the NFC. They're a pesky team. They win close games clearly. Like, I saw a stat, I don't know off the top of my head, but there was like teams were like 50-0 when they had the lead that the Bears had with three more turnovers, yeah, or whatever. And obviously it's Chicago Bears-ish for them to lose that game. But again, I think if you're looking at pesky teams and just the definition of a pesky, difficult team, a team that was once considered an easy win, even just as soon as last year, just as early as last year, early on in last year, you looked at the Lions the first 7-8 weeks and you're like, okay, yep, this is an easy win. And they're now turned around and they've built an identity of a pesky, hard football team. They're going to run it down your throat. And I almost think that this is a team. I put out a bold prediction and I said that the Lions were going to finish as the number one seed in the NFC, right? And that was considered bold at the time, even though it was 2 weeks ago or maybe even less than that. But is that even that bold anymore?
If the Eagles do lose tonight, and obviously, like we said earlier, like, we don't know the status of that game, but if the Eagles drop tonight, the Lions are the one seed.
Yes.
In the NFC. And the Lions have a way, way more favorable schedule than the Eagles going forward. And I think I'm here to say that I'm ready to fill out, not that I haven't done this a while ago, because I have been singing the Lions praises all year long. But when I look back at how I felt about the Lions before the season started,
we both did, though.
Yeah, like, I've loved Dan Campbell since he was the interim coach in Miami. I thought he was awesome. But I had just thought that at a certain point, you can only rally up your troops so much. And then if you don't start to convert on that enthusiasm and on that energy, if you don't start to convert that into wins, it can get stagnant. And I kind of doubted the talent of this roster a little bit, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But the identity that this team has, they're just hard-nosed. All the kneecap biting, like everything that Dan Campbell had said in his introductory press conference when he was named the head coach of the Lions, he has followed through with his
word.
And
it's like translating directly. Like, I don't know how you can translate biting kneecaps, yeah, but whatever the Lions are doing, that shows me a team that forever, for whatever lack of the better words, is biting the kneecaps of their opponent. Because, again, it goes back to their peskiness. They're just pesky.
I think you said the word pesky.
This probably should be the pesky podcast, it's called, because I genuinely isn't a better way to describe the Detroit Lions as just pesky. They're just pesky. I'm telling you, they're pesky. That's got to be 35 straight times that I've said that term. But it's true.
They've just got, I mean, I had them in Survivor this week, and my Survivor pool is getting down to the point where, like, you really don't want to get eliminated now. I'm getting close. And for them to claw back like that, Jared Goff throws three picks, but he finds a way to get it done. I'm such a massive Jared Goff fan. I love the way he turned around his career in Detroit, because I'll never forget when he was traded for Matthew Stafford. The first thing that everybody did was look at his contract and said, okay, when do the Lions have an out?
Yeah.
When can they dump him and just draft someone? Everyone thinks in the NFL that the draft is just filled with solutions at the quarterback position. What are we reminded of year in and year out? It's very, very hard to draft a franchise quarterback. Go ask four of the five teams that took a quarterback in the first round in the 2021 NFL draft that was supposed to be the best quarterback draft class of all time, with Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Mac Jones and Justin Fields. And Trevor Lawrence looks great, but I mean, I'm not going to do my weekly dig in on Trevor Lawrence, because he did play very well and the Jaguars did win this week. But hey, Jared Goff is a reminder that sometimes veteran quarterbacks and quarterbacks that are just sometimes willing to take a shot from a defensive end and don't really care about their stat line at the end of the day and will put their body on the line to get a first down, sometimes those are the quarterbacks that can take you very, very far and inspire an offense forward. And Jared Goff's that guy, man. Like, this guy is, he just does all the right things.
And I think he represents the team very well. He's tough.
He's pesky.
He's pesky. Yeah. He's pesky quarterback. No, but jokes aside, Jared Goff, someone that was like kicked to the curb almost for, he went, I mean, he took the Rams to a Super Bowl, right? Like, and just like that, I get it. Matthew Stafford comes available. You look to upgrade him, so be it. Is Matthew Stafford even better than Jared Goff?
Okay, the Rams won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford.
I get that, but
like, let's not come in and say just because Matthew Stafford now, you know, he's gotten hurt and he hasn't done.
But health. Like,
that
health
Super
is
Bowl
big,
is worth 100 years.
Of course. But I'm just saying, from a Detroit Lions standpoint, like, you went in and you would think that, oh, it's, how are we going to replace Matthew Stafford? They sort of did it like efficiently.
They've never won like this when Stafford was back there. But I would also tell you, like, they never had a coach like Dan Campbell, Stafford.
No,
they never 100%. Had. Okay, they had some good weapons, but they never had a good team.
They never
had the number one ranked.
They're not complete.
Line.
They're not as complete as they are
nice
now. I agree.
Defense.
That, like, I can agree with. Like, Stafford, if you had Matthew Stafford in this situation, they probably are in the exact same spot. I'm not saying Matthew Stafford's bad. I'm just saying it's funny how people are so fast to discredit a quarterback like Jared Goff, and he just goes into a new system and he has someone. Again, I thought that McVay and just the Rams regime, I get it. They got a Super Bowl from it, but let's say that San Francisco safety doesn't catch that ball.
What if?
I get it. We're playing the what if game.
You sound
here.
Like Justin Herbert fans.
We're getting down the what if game. But like I'm saying, how different it could look. It's, you know what I mean? If they don't have that Super Bowl, Jared Goff suddenly looks like, oh, we shouldn't have traded that guy. I almost think that Jared Goff has had this like stigma against him because he was, again, dumped for Matthew Stafford and he had this big contract and traded within the first 2 years of it. I feel like he's just built up such a bad stigma that people still aren't giving him the respect that he deserves. Like, this, he's been playing ever since he's gotten to Detroit. I mean, scratch the first couple of weeks of last season, he's playing like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Well, I'm not saying he's elite, but from any statistical measure and just winning in general, this is a top 10 quarterback. And it leads me to believe that, again, I'm a strong believer that your team could only go as far as your quarterback can take you. And I think the Detroit Lions have a pretty good one. And that's going with saying that they're a very complete team, but if there's any, just any quarterback back there, they're not doing what they're doing, right? And it almost makes me think that they're even if their schedule is favorable, not favorable, I think to be able to win down the stretch, you need a good quarterback along with a good team. And I think the Lions have it. And I genuinely believe, it's not even bold to say anymore, that there is a realistic chance that this team could be the number one seed in the NFC. And what does that look like? I'm not sure. I haven't seen this Detroit Lions team play in the playoffs, but all I know is they'd be a pretty difficult team to beat, especially in Detroit. The way that they run the ball, the way they play defense, the way they're physical, I think that translates. And you're going to see it. And if they do happen to be the one seed, that would be such a great story and an absolute 180 for this franchise.
A year ago at this time, what did they start? 1-7, yeah. 1-8. So, you know, a year and a couple of weeks ago, that's where they were sitting as an organization. And I love the Jared Goff stuff, because not that I'm like this anti-QB focus ideology that I think the NFL now has, but like, let's be honest, it's a very star-driven league and everyone loves to talk about the stars, and it always, always lies on the quarterback. And there's just this consensus that goes around the media, fans, you see it online on social media. People act like if you don't have Mahomes or Joe Burrow and your team is good, the quarterback is like a plug-and-play position. Like, oh, the 49ers have a good team, so anyone can play. Like, anyone can play quarterback. Like, no, not anyone can play quarterback. Zach Wilson is not going to quarterback the 49ers to an NFC championship. Brock Purdy, yeah, he's not as good as Mahomes. Yeah, he's not as good as a guy like Joe Burrow, but he's still a pretty solid,
yeah, very solid,
good quarterback.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff falls into that category for me. And everyone just acts like as soon as the quarterback doesn't have to do all this heavy lifting and rescue his team and be the hero, that he's not valued or he's not important. Like, Jared Goff makes $40+ million a year. If you were to enter the open market today, I guarantee you there would be teams that would waive between $45 and $50 million a year at him.
For sure.
And he's worth every penny of that money, in the sense that you have him, he's better than so many guys in this league. He's experienced, and he's going to take teams far. And that's what he's doing in Detroit right now. So hats off to him. But yeah, I think that wraps up our Lions talk, because we've got a little mini game again today.
Again, back-to-back weeks. And to build off of what you mentioned, teams going far and ultimately making the playoffs and going on to do greater and better things. But that leads us to our game, In and Out. This week, Pox on the podium. Last week, it was me talking about CJ Stroud. But essentially, what I'm going to do is I got a list of fringe playoff teams that will sort of go by and rapid fire few points, talk about if they're going to be in and out, respective to the postseason, to the playoffs. So we're going to start in the AFC. We're going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
So,
in or out?
Have you looked at the Bills' next three games?
I have.
I don't want to mess up the order, but I believe it's 49ers, Cowboys, Eagles. I don't know. Like, those are the next three teams they play. The Chiefs are in there too somewhere still. They have a gauntlet ahead. I just think they're too good to miss, though. So I'm going to say that they're in, and I think the Burrow injury...
Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, no 49ers.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys. I think the Burrow injury really helps their case. I think the fact that the Steelers are just eventually going to be exposed as frauds helps their case. I think the Deshaun Watson thing helps their case. Like, I think the Bills are going to find a way to get in. There's still a lot of football to be played.
The Steelers, in or out?
The fact that they lost this week against the Browns, I think it makes it a lot tougher. You got the Texans on the come up. You got the Bills, like I just talked about. I think they're going to miss it. Kenny Pickett just cannot push the ball down the field and score more than 20 points. Like, is that too much to ask? 20 points?
Clearly for the Steelers and Kenny Pickett's case, it is.
They're going to miss. They're going to miss.
The Houston Texans, in or out?
This one's hard, because I feel like I'm starting to say no to too many teams if I say no to the Texans, because, like I said, I still feel like I don't quite trust them, as good as I think CJ Stroud has been. But I think they've also started to prove to me that the rest of their roster around Stroud, of course, he's the quarterback, he gets all the love, that is also better than people think.
Yes.
I'm going to say they squeak in as the 7 seed.
you're getting specific here. Now let's go with the Colts, in or out.
I think they're going to miss. Love what Gardner Minshew's doing. Jonathan Taylor's looked great. Confident in the future of the team, Shane Steichen, but I just don't think that they're as good as the other teams.
Let's go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders are going to miss. They're a nice story with Antonio Pierce. Classic case of interim coach coming in and firing up a team. But at the end of the day, Aiden O'Connell is not a playoff quarterback. They're going to miss out.
So then it leads me to you're pretty much down to one playoff spot remaining between the Broncos and the Chargers. So who do you think gets it between
them? You didn't ask me about the Cleveland Brownies.
The Cleveland Brownies are... Cleveland Brownies too. Yes, okay, let's go Cleveland Brownies.
Well, I think this is a little anticlimactic then, because I think the Browns are going to make the playoffs. Okay. I think they have the best defense in the NFL right now. They're playing that way. And I'm not afraid to say this with my chest. PJ Walker, Deshaun Watson, they're doing the same thing back there. It's not like Deshaun was carrying this team at all. So I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns get in.
So then the Broncos and the Chargers you have as...
Yeah, Brandon Staley's the third host on this podcast next year because he's not going to be coaching in the NFL. The Broncos, we talked about them earlier, nice little comeback. They're going to miss the playoffs. The Chargers are definitely going
to
miss the playoffs.
With all due respect to Brandon Staley, who says that we want him as the third host on our podcast?
I would take him in. I think he would give us a little bit of exposure. I would be nice to him if he wanted to come onto this podcast, move to Canada.
Yeah, he knows. We welcome him with open arms. But now with the NFC, we'll start with the Seattle Seahawks. Are they in or out?
I gotta think a little harder about the NFC. I wrote down the teams that I think are playoff locks already on here. So I have in the NFC, I got the Cowboys, Eagles, 49ers, and Lions. After that, it just becomes a bit of a jumble. The Seahawks losing to the Rams was a little bit unsettling. Yeah. I'm going to say that they make the playoffs, but I may change based on some of the teams that you start to roll at me. But I'm going to put them in for now.
The Vikings.
Oh, man. I love the Vikings. Oh, and I think Dobbs is... You know what? I'm gonna say the Vikings get in as well. I think Josh Dobbs has done such a good job. They're going to get Justin Jefferson back after the bye. Defense has been playing a lot better under Brian Flores. They've proved that they're going to be in games every week. I'm going to say that the Vikings get in.
The Packers.
Too inconsistent. Yeah. Jordan Love, you don't know what you're going to get. They're a bit of a dog's breakfast. Just a jumble of disorganization and a lack of consistency. I'm going to say that they miss.
Let's go with the Rams. A team that's getting Stafford back. They just won.
Cooper Kupp picked up a bit of an injury, though, in that game. I just don't think that they have quite enough on the defense side of the ball. Like, the moment Puka Nacua or Matthew Stafford doesn't have 170 receiving yards and this monster game, I feel like they lose. Kyren Williams back will be nice, but I just don't think that they have quite enough.
Yeah, I think they are lacking a run game ever since Kyren Williams went down, so who knows? Maybe he rejuvenates the team. I don't mind that pick. The Atlanta Falcons, who just named Desmond Ridder the starter again. So who knows what that team is doing? Do you have them making the playoffs?
The Falcons are terrible. Like, they're a terrible football team. And I feel like I talk about the Falcons every single week because they're the biggest what if in the NFL.
They are.
I think this team could go so far under the right quarterback play and under the right management, but we're just not seeing it. Falcons versus Saints this weekend. I think this is going to be one of the most telling games of the season. I'm going to say the Falcons.
There's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
For those teams. And now obviously we got two teams left in the same division. You got the Saints. The Saints are going to make it.
I'm going to say the Saints do make it. It doesn't matter if Derek Carr misses this week. Jameis Winston, when he's back there, you know, pushing that rock down the field, one of my favorite players in the NFL to watch. The Saints get in. The quarterbacks that they play coming up and the teams that they play coming up, very, very weak, they get in.
And the final team to sort of wrap up this game of in and out, the Bucks.
So if I say no, do I have enough playoff teams?
Well, you had the Vikings, you had the Seahawks, and you had the... Well, the Saints, you're assuming, I assume you'd say to win the division.
Yeah, the Saints are going to win that division.
You're pretty much fighting for that final. So
one of these teams is going to get into the playoffs?
They have to.
The NFC is a disaster. Yeah.
It's a full game back. It's a full game back of what the AFC is, because there's teams that are 5-5 in the AFC that are a game back, but there's also teams that are 4-6 in the NFC that are a game back. I believe so.
So I don't like the Falcons. I've said that, and they've also lost three in a row. So I'm essentially deciding now between the Bucks, the Packers, and the Rams are all 4-6. And you know what? Oh, this is really tough. I'm going to say that the Bucks get in. I like what Baker Mayfield's. You talked about pesky. That's been the word of the episode. That's a pesky guy.
It is.
Mike Evans continues to get it done. The defense, like, they're so hard to run on. I'm going to say that the Bucks get in.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's an awful, that 2-7.
It's not the greatest. It's
terrible.
It's a good sort of mini bye week for the 2 seed. At least looks like it on paper, but again, yeah, pesky. Another, that keeps coming up this episode. That is the word of the episode, I think, is pesky. It's pesky podcast, the CTB pesky podcast. But that's in and out, in or out. Sorry, not the burger joint. In or out, Pox, fringe playoff teams. Well, we could revisit this later on in the season, see what happened if you went 100%, if you went 0%. I doubt you go 0%. I doubt you go 100%. Maybe we'll say, like, maybe we'll call it 75% is the target. If you can get 75% or more, you consider this a successful game.
I just can't believe I was stumbling a little bit when you said the Minnesota Vikings, and then I looked at some of the other teams that, like, they're going to get in. Like, a team that's 4-6 right now is going to be in the playoffs. Oh, man. And we were all panicked when the Vikings were 0-3 that they weren't going to make the playoffs. The NFC is terrible.
It's not good. But it's top-heavy. Like, the teams at the top are good.
The teams at the top are amazing. Like, the Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, and Lions are probably four of the top six teams in the NFL, maybe.
At the moment, maybe. But still, like, again, it's like, very, like, top-heavy.
To me, I'm just considering, like, the Ravens and the Chiefs in that top six with those. I might put the Dolphins over the Lions. But, yeah. Wow. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. The Giants with Tommy DeVito are 3-8. Like a game and a half out of the playoffs.
Who happened to be playing the New England Patriots at home. So think about it. The Giants could realistically be 4-8, like a game and a half out of a playoff spot at this time next week. What a crazy story. Tommy DeVito, the Italian Stallion, still lives at his parents' house, makes $44,000 a game, still lives at his parents' house. Still gets nice home-cooked pasta, some nice lasagna. I know Pac would love to live in that household.
I would love to live
this
in that
guy
household.
Right here.
I would love to make $44,000 every
too,
week.
But too. I'm talking about the Italian food every single night.
I love it.
Pac would absolutely love.
Actually, congratulations. The Italians qualified for the Euro Cup.
It was.
It's aguri, that's what they say.
It's very, very, very telling and very almost. Every team that I like always gives me a heart attack, and the Azzurri sort of fit right into it.
Yeah, they never make it easy. All I'm going to say is that we were spoiled with years of Brady, Manning, and when I say Manning, I'm talking about Eli, David Tyree catches, Mario Manningham catches, to go to Mac Jones and Tommy DeVito. I almost called him Danny DeVito. Tommy DeVito. What a disastrous matchup that is. And you said that's this week?
That's this week.
Happy Thanksgiving,
America. Happy Thanksgiving, America. But
okay,
we're going to go in, before we get to our bets, I know we're talking lines here, we're going to talk stardom, sit-em. Again, a segment that we are blazing hot in. Every single week, it seems like who we're calling start pops off, who we're calling sit puts up a dud. Obviously, this is sponsored by our friends at Didit. Fantastic app. Your trade deadline's around the corner. Fantasy playoffs are around the corner. If you want to chat one-on-one with fantasy experts like myself and many other people, brilliant minds use this app. Download it. First call is free. You can chat one-on-one, like legit FaceTime me. I can break down your team, give you some targets. We can send off a couple of trades together. We can build your roster for that championship push by downloading the Didit app. Again, first call is free, and it's going to start us up. You're going to go first in this segment. You're going to go with your start.
Yeah.
You let me know. I'll go start, sit, and we'll wrap it up.
All right. With my start, I'm going to talk about a guy who's just been blazing hot. And when you look at numbers like efficiency and explosiveness, that usually corresponds to an uptick in usage, which is all we care about in fantasy, especially at the running back position. And in a lifeless offense that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jaylen Warren continues to be the only player that makes plays. They're going up against the Bengals this week that, you know, they're a little down after losing Joe Burrow. The Ravens kind of had their way with that defense on Thursday night. Put Jaylen Warren in your lineup. If you don't have him, trade for him, because this is a guy that's only going to continue to see more and more touches every week. Get him on your team, especially for the playoff push and even come playoff time. Jaylen Warren is my must start this week, sponsored by our friends over at Did It Cat. Who are you starting?
I'm going with Tank Dell. This is a guy that's flying. Like, gadget guy, call him what you want. He's putting up incredible numbers. And week in, week out, I got him on my teams, and he's willing me to a couple of my victories. So I might as well keep riding the hot hand here. And CJ Stroud and him seem to be building this very unique and cool connection they got down there. And he's an incredible route runner. I saw one of the clip on his touchdown this week. Incredible catch. But the route was like, honestly, we might have to put a layover of it, because it was like the greatest thing I've ever seen. The guy fell over, incredible catch. I'm going with Tank Dell. I'm rolling the hot hand. He's my must start this week. Who's your must sit?
I'm cheating. I had told everyone to start Najee Harris, or I told everyone to start Jaylen Warren. You better sit Najee Harris, because this guy is going to lose touches. If you just look at, pull up the box score, anyone can do this. This is free, accessible information. You type in Steelers versus Browns box score. You see what Najee Harris did with his touches. You see what Jaylen Warren did with his touches. So it seems like everyone can come to the conclusion that Jaylen Warren needs to get the ball more. The only person who isn't is Matt Canada, and that's the offense. But eventually he's going to come to his senses. Najee Harris is the type of player in fantasy where if he doesn't score a touchdown, which he doesn't get a lot of them, he's putting up 6-7 points.
Yeah,
it is very, very frustrating. I would sit him this week against the Bengals, because I'm calling it the Jaylen Warren RB1 breakout week, because that's what's going to happen. He's officially, he was named the starter last week. This is the week where he transitions to just get way more touches than Najee Harris. Than Najee Harris. So that makes Najee Harris my must sit for week 12?
Week 12.
There you go.
Yeah, week 12. Crazy. My sit, again, I don't want to call this sit. It's more so temper expectations. Because the player I'm about to say isn't someone that you can necessarily just sit, because where you drafted him and what he's expected to do for your lineups, and that is Ja'Marr Chase. I think it's going to take him a couple of weeks to build the rap and build a connection with Jake Browning. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to come right away. So I'm willing to temper expectations with Ja'Marr Chase. Now, am I completely removing him from my lineups? No. Unless I got someone better, like Christian Kirk, maybe, like a guy like that, in that sort of tier 3, tier 4 type of receiver. Maybe even Tank Dell. If I Tank Dell, maybe I consider starting him over Ja'Marr Chase, or at least consider it. I'm going to temper my expectation with Ja'Marr Chase this week. I think his ceiling is obviously capped with Joe Burrow being out for the season, but that pretty much wraps up our starts and sits.
Actually, I have a question for you, though, about Chase, though. Is it like... Because a lot of the times when it's someone who you can't necessarily sit them because they're so good, he's one of your best players on the team, I usually call it on the segment, I'll say trade him. Is this someone that you would sell, or would you, I mean, if you think he's eventually going to get there with Jake Browning, are you buying low on Ja'Marr Chase?
I think you're almost buying a little bit low. Like, I wouldn't sell Ja'Marr Chase because I don't think you're going to get his value.
Yeah.
So at that point, you might as well just not sell him. Yeah. But again, if the right opportunity to buy low on him presents itself, maybe that's a chance for you to sort of get your foot in and take a chance. Like, if your team is good, if your team is pretty much locked up in the playoffs, now, if you're fighting for a playoff spot, I wouldn't be going to trade for Ja'Marr Chase. But if your team is got a two or three-game lead on a playoff spot, maybe that's someone that I would trade for, right, to use for the playoffs. But, again, I don't think he's going to necessarily make a big impact in the short term, but it's more a long-term play. I like how you brought that up.
All right. On to our locks, and of course, our last week's picks still aren't settled, as we got a big Monday night showdown tonight. But I'm currently 12-9 on the season. My one pick that was settled last week was a Sunday night football game where the Pastronaut, He didn't win, but he covered the spread for me. You are 0-1 after taking another Thursday night game. When will you learn? But speaking of Thursday nighters, with it being Thanksgiving this week, we've added a little twist to the segment. We have to take a game that is a Thanksgiving special. So one of the three on Thanksgiving or the Black Friday game. And then we are also going to pick two on top of that. I believe you have the first pick this week, so go ahead and get started.
So I'm going to take the Cowboys. Again, big spread, I know, but this is, again, a juggernaut at home. We're talking 12 straight wins, and not to mention Dak's a perfect 5-0 in his career against the Commanders with 13 touchdown passes to zero interceptions. Wow. And not only is this a team that's a juggernaut at home, they literally blow out every single team that they win against. Like, 7-3, I have a stat here that's from Twitter, X, call it whatever you want. It's from at Juurist JT. I probably completely botched that, but this is Dak Prescott's final pass in their games won. So week one against the Giants, he threw his final pass of the game with 11 minutes and 42 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Week two, he was removed from the game with 9 minutes and 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Week four, he was removed with 8 minutes and 42 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Week 5, he was removed with 12 minutes and 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Week 8, 12 minutes and 19 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Week 10, he was removed in the third quarter.
Who did they play week 10?
With a minute left, the Giants, I believe
it
was.
Yeah.
Then
either been survived.
Last week, he was removed from the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So the Cowboys have 7 wins and 7 blowouts.
So Cooper Rush is just the busiest. Like Cooper Rush. So he's making money. Your best bet in this one is Cooper Rush is over in passing
yards.
Honestly,
yeah. If Cooper Rush anytime touchdown. If this trend continues to pop the way it's been popping, which, I mean, it can't get more clear than this. There's 7 wins on the season, and Dak has... The furthest he's played into a win was this past week with, and there was 8 minutes left in the game. So yeah, I'm taking
and
the Cowboys.
They won by 22 points and covered a big spread this week. I like it. You came ready with stats. You knocked out one of your Thanksgiving games right away. I'm going to keep it very simple and just roll with what is working. The Pastronaut, this guy is the best player to ever live and exist. I had him last week. I know they lost, but the team is rolling. One of the hottest teams, even, you know, throw out that loss on one of the hottest teams. There's 5-1 in their last 6. I'm going to take him, -3.5, once again on primetime, Monday Night Football against the Bears. What do the Bears do best? They fumble in big moments. I don't think that they are going to keep it close enough in this game, and I think the Vikings are going to continue to roll. Give me them, -3.5, lock it in. That's pick number one.
I'm going to take the Bills, +3.5. Again, they're playing the Eagles. I don't know what the Eagles Monday night situation is because this game still yet to be played. I'm sort of just going off the momentum here. Again, I think it's sort of a close game. I say it a lot on the podcast. It comes down to who's going to have the ball last. I think this is two good teams battling it out. High-powered offenses. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Give me Bills on the points. I don't know if they went outright, but I think they covered the 3-point spread.
All right, I don't mind it, but wasn't going to be something that I was going to take. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens. They're playing the Los Angeles Chargers. I just talked about how the Chargers aren't going to make the playoffs. I think this is a game that sinks them to a new low. Listen, Justin Herbert is having a very good season on his own, but the surrounding pieces around him just aren't working. The coaching staff, like, this is a team that needs to tear everything down and start over. And I think this is a game where Jim Harbaugh just proves to everyone how he's just so... Did I say Jim Harbaugh? John Harbaugh proves to everyone that he's just such a better coach than Brandon Staley. They're 4.5-point favorites. They're 4-point favorites. I like the Ravens. I know they're on the road, but the Chargers aren't...
It's pretty much a home game for the Ravens.
They're not a good home team.
So yep. Give me the Ravens. Not only are they not a good home team, they don't really get a home crowd.
There you go.
Right? Except for that person that's on ESPN, the super fan.
Oh, the lady that was yelling.
Yes, the yelling lady. But my final pick, I can't believe I'm taking this team. I actually can't believe it. But I'm going to take the New York Football Giants +3.5. I don't even think there's going to be 3 total points scored in this game, so I'm going to take 3.5.
Why don't you take the over-under is 33.5.
No, I'm not even touching that.
That is
I can't.
So I don't know if I've ever seen... The other game I'm looking at with the over-under is 35.5, and that's Browns-Broncos.
I think this game is going to be so bad that I don't even think there's going to be a touchdown. But that's, I genuinely don't think
to
he's
me that's
touch
the
him.
Number one rule when you got garbage versus garbage.
You take
stay
the under.
Away. No, stay away.
No. Me?
How do you know which
bad team
is gonna
win? I create my own rules here. I'm taking the Giants, Danny DeVito, with a nice Italian meatball sub, just smashing it in New York for Thanksgiving weekend. The Giants, the New York football Giants. They took me out of my survivor pool this week, New York football Giants. Don't worry, I haven't forgot about that. So what you could do to repay me, you won't repay me on the potential money that I could have accumulated from winning, but at least you can, I'm going to go as far as you, at least you can help me go perfect this week, because that is what I'm doing. I'm going 3-0 this week.
That is wild. That is a wild pick. I got to pick a Thanksgiving game. I'm not going to lie. You took the Cowboys. The other ones kind of scare me a little bit. Maybe I go a little bit bold. The Packers got blown out. You know what? No, I'm going to take the 49ers. 49ers are -6.5. They're on the road. But this is a very, very good team. Geno Smith's got a swollen elbow. It's a short week. Kenneth Walker's hurt. The Seahawks just came off of what I'll call a disappointing loss. Not that I'm overly concerned about them making the playoffs or anything, but I just think that this is a week maybe they're not the most prepared for. I know they're at home, but I read some Geno Smith stuff today that I'm not all that into.
They're optimistic.
Yeah.
That whole play, but
I'm gonna take the 49ers -6.5. Like I said, I was looking at the Packers potentially covering against the Lions just because they were so bad at home against the Lions earlier this year. But you just don't know which Jordan Love you're going to get. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 49ers. Those are our picks, our best bets of the week, powered by our good friends over at PointsBet. If you sign up, make sure to use code BLITZ. And that is the show for today. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. South of the border, celebrating the states. I think last year we did a food draft, which was pretty fun.
Maybe we'll do that again.
We always have the conversation about how American Thanksgiving is actually it's one of the best holidays, and I think where it's positioned in the year, how close it is to Christmas, is nice because after that, then you go, oh, it's like it's coming up on Christmas. Whereas in Canada, we have Thanksgiving in October, then this long
gap, the long gap
where just nothing's going on. But I'll say this, the weather for Thanksgiving in Canada is just so much better.
Yeah, because now it's freezing outside. Yeah. Like, it's
not Thanksgiving weather.
It's below zero. It's obviously not. It depends what temperature scale you use, Celsius or Fahrenheit. But it is below zero Celsius today. So I'm not looking forward to getting in my car later and driving home. But American Thanksgiving is awesome. I am incredibly jealous on Thursday and Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, because it seems like you guys get 3 weeks for Thanksgiving. We get one day.
Yeah.
But I love it. I celebrate it. Thursday is a absolute football day for me. That is it. All I do is football. And I can't wait for it. I know you can't wait for it. I know Pa can't wait for it. So that's wrapping up our show. Week 12 is on the horizon. The season is not done yet, but we're sort of getting there. So I hope it slows down soon, but we're in for a good weekend. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners south of the border, and we will catch you guys next week.
See you guys.